Morning. I greet you in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The topic assigned to me for our meditation this morning is Leadership Matters, taken from the text which Elder Michael Ong has read for us from Hebrews chapter 13. Well, this is not GE 2025, and this is not election campaign talk. Okay, rather, the writer to the Hebrews reminded the recipients of the epistles to remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, leadership matters. It is evident that nations or country with corrupt, selfish, power-crazed leaders would bring suffering and poverty to the people. And similarly, the Bible also warns us that corrupt and evil kings, false prophets, and unfaithful priests would turn the people's heart from God and lead them astray. So we are told in Matthew chapter 7, verses 18 to 20, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Therefore, good and God-fearing leadership really, really matters. Now, the Bible also shows us that the kings of Judah and Israel did not have a good record. It is amazing and yet alarming that none of the 19 kings in the northern kingdom were good, and only 8 out of 20 kings, or 40%, in the southern kingdom were good. This was no surprise to our all-knowing God, since the Israelites have rejected him as their king. And like all the other nations around them, they have chosen men to rule over them. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And despite God's warning of what human kings would do to them, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 10 to 18, the people refuse and to obey his word. This is sad, isn't it? Is the world today better? No. According to the World Corruption Perception Index, the perceived level of public sector corruption in 180 countries or territories around the world show that majority of them are corrupt, as represented both by the red and the red and darker red colors. Those in yellow are countries that are so-called less corrupt. Thank God, Singapore ranked 5th together with Sweden as being less corrupt. Now, with the election around the corner, let us continue to pray that we will have a God-fearing government so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. What is the impact of bad kings or leaders? We often heard this verse mentioned during National Day. Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Now, when the moral compass of the leaders is corrupt, the outcome will be a morally decayed society, void of justice and righteousness. And how true it is that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. As shown earlier, most of the kings in Israel were bad kings. They disobey God and did not fear him. They were idolatrous and caused the people to sin against God. They killed the prophets who warned them of their sins. They were wicked and did evil in the sight of God. A bad leader or ruler is therefore selfish, defiant, self-glory, and an evildoer. And in Jeremiah 32, verse 32, sums up the impact of a bad leader. They, that is, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, were evil, and had provoked the Lord to anger. We therefore need righteous and God-fearing leaders. A good leader, which is one that is God-fearing, uphold justice, serve the people, and rule righteously. God willing, I shall cover the following: why church leadership matters. God, our first leader. The roles of leaders, the roles of members, and conclusion. And I must emphasize here that the church is a unique entity in the sight of God. Now, only Christianity teaches a God who has a special personal relationship with his people in the church. Christ is the head of the church, and the church is his bride. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, called out of the world, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Therefore, we leaders and members alike must be different from the world. Now, why church leadership matters? The church belongs to God, and good leaders are therefore critical for the witness and the growth of the church. Without leaders, it is like sheep without shepherd. And without shepherd, the sheep are lost, weary, scattered, and in danger. Without God-fearing leaders, there is no directions, there is no purpose, there is no unity, there is no safety and progress. Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He is concerned that his people, who are his sheep, are guided and protected from all harm and dangers. Thus, he expects all church leaders to take care of the sheep. God is our first leader, and leadership is just as old as the earth. God is our first leader who leads us. We see in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. God initiated the creation of the world. He plans, he organizes, and he created the world, whole world, in an orderly and proper sequence. He delegates. He assigned Adam to take charge of the garden. He commanded Adam not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God provided Adam with a helpmeet. He cares. Now, we have a God and leader that is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book of Hebrews teaches us the superiority of Christ is unparalleled and incomparable. Unlike man who changes, our God does not change, and he is trustworthy. He is King eternal. He does not change in his nature, his purpose, and his plan. We see that he was the Old Testament promised Messiah. He was the New Testament Lamb of God, and he is the future King of Kings. He came to fulfill the law for our sin, was buried, he rose again, he ascended to heaven, and he is interceding for us and shall come to rule his kingdom. Now, God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Now, why am I talking about this? Because God's kingdom comprises His people. It consists of the redeemed, past, present, and future. His church. His kingdom is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So leadership in the church, therefore, is not about politics. It is not about position, popularities, and power. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus told his disciple, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Dear friends, do you belong to His kingdom? You either belong to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. And you can only be in God's kingdom if you are born again by believing in Jesus as your Savior and Lord to save you from your sins. Sin is an abomination to the righteous and holy God. And man is helpless with his sins. Only the blood of Jesus, shed on the cross of Calvary, can atone and redeem us from our sins. So this morning I urge you, those who are still outside the Lord Jesus, to come and believe in Him and be citizens of the kingdom of God if you have not done so. What are the roles of leaders? Now, leaders are given by God to proclaim His word and to build up His church. We are told in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. They watch over our souls, as verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 13 tells us. He watch over the souls of the members that they may be a perfect man, that is to say, mature spiritually, that they may grow in the likeness of Christ. And that is the purpose of every one of us, that we may grow to be more like Christ and be firmly grounded in the faith. Leaders are also accountable to God. They are entrusted with God's heritage. And we are held responsible for nurturing them and to protect them against the attacks of the evil ones. Leaders are to be faithful and godly role model in God's word, in handling of God's word effectively, and be mature, steadfast, as well as to bear good conscience before men and before God. Now, I want to stress on the preciousness of our soul. All leaders must be mindful that we are held accountable to God for every soul that is entrusted to us. Man is God's apex creation, created in the image of God and in His likeness. Unlike all the rest of the creation, in God, we have the breath of life, and we became a living soul. What is a soul? The soul is the real you. Without the soul, you are nobody. You are just only an empty carcass. But the soul makes us who you are. Who am I? The soul is precious. That's why Christ came to die for us. And He guards us zealously so that none of us will be lost in his priestly prayer in John chapter 17. How much is our soul worth? It is more than the world. And it lives forever. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but to lose his own soul? The physical body will decay and die, but the soul lives on. Thus, the soul is precious to God. What are the traits of a good leader? A good leader is a man after God's own heart. And what is a man after God's own heart? It is one who will patiently wait upon the Lord. It is one who will humbly seek to do what God wants him to do. Are we? Are we patient to wait upon the Lord? Are we humble enough to seek his, to do his will? Not my will, but thy will be done. In addition, good leaders are avid men who fear God. They are men of truth, hating covetousness. They are men of with honest report. They are men full of the Holy Ghost, not men of the world. They are men endowed with spiritual, divine wisdom to see things in the light of God's word and not just the world. And Paul gave further criteria for leaders in the New Testament church office bearer in the various epistles. There is always a shortage of laborers in the vineyard of God. And God is looking for willing men and women who are humble and committed to serve him and his people. So have you thought and prayed carefully and earnestly about the possibility of serving God and his church? Instead of sitting down there, folding your arms and waiting to be served. We need leaders and under-shepherds who are loving leaders, who are effective teachers, who can show us godly examples. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is God calling you to be one? Is God calling you today? Loving leaders are able men and women included who love God and willing to rise up and serve him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. There are many examples that we can see around us. The Life Children's Club. Week after week, the leaders there, without fail, despite the number is small, but they keep on persevere. And they were blessings to the children who come week after week. And some has been saved and are moving on into LTF. We have people who are faithful in the door-to-door witness ministry. We have Sunday school teachers, week after week prepare messages, not to mention our pastors who are also preparing God's word for us every week. They do all this out of their love for God and for his people. They are loving, they are caring, they are compassionate, and able to empathize with his people. So man who desires to serve God desires a good work, and this is honorable to God. Leaders are to be servants of all and not to lord over God's heritage but being example to the flock. So let every servant of God pray this: Lord, give me a servant heart filled with humility, humility, humility. Not serving for my own glory, but only so that Christ may be seen in us. We need effective teachers. Effective teachers who can teach and mentor and are patient to feed the flock of God, to direct them, to guide them into the truth. And every man, especially husband, should be teacher at home before ministering to his people. The church consists of many families, nucleus, and every husband, every head of the house, must take this responsibility to teach our children, to teach our family the Word of God. Don't depend on the Sunday school teachers. Don't depend on the pastors. Don't depend on the preachers. But do our responsibility to instruct our children, our loved ones, with the Word of God. And give attendance to personal Bible studies and obedience to its application. If we ask our children to study the Word of God and we ourselves are not doing, what kind of examples are we? And how can we guide them if we are not immersed in the Word of God? Have the desire to live and to share the living Word of God with others. And we can only do so if we let the Word of God dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Does the Word of God fill us? Does the Word of God in our mind? Or are we filled with the mind, or with the knowledge and the latest news of the world? Leaders need to set godly examples to the flock as Christ-like models, compassionate, caring, spirit-filled, full of faith, and consistent. Do we display that faith in trusting the Lord when difficulties come our way? Or do we look to the world or look to ourselves instead of looking to God? We need to be men of good reports and effective as light and salt of the world. God has given us the trait of good leaders for godly men. So by His grace, we can be what He wants us to be if we were to live out His word in our life. Walk the talk. And this is an integral part of effective leaders and teachers. As leaders, we are to be examples of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now, but the sad fact about this in the church is, as what Isaiah says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" The fact is that in the church, there is no lack of able people to be leaders. Not many are willing to step forward to serve. Why? I could think of two possible reasons. One, the pride of men. Two, the lack of love for God. We struggle with the priorities and values between the world and the church. And this is Even if to the leaders as well today, each day we struggle, what should we do first? And what is a value that we should place in our life? In Luke chapter 14, verses 17 to 20, we were told about the banquet that the Lord invited the people to come. And many responded, "I cannot come." Although it is targeted towards the salvation of people, of men, it can be equally used to our response to serve God. When the Lord invites us, what is our response? "I cannot come. I cannot serve." Why? Now, these things in themselves are not wrong. But if they draw us away from God and hold us back from serving Him, then they are wrong and worthless. Our choice reflects our heart and our love for God. It is also about faith. Are we willing to give up to serve the Lord? It takes steps of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Following God requires us to have faith. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Not what I can gain to serve the Lord. He has given us all. Will He not give us all that we need in our life? It could mean a cut in your pay package. It could mean deprived or not able to go for holiday every year. But what is that compared to the love of God for us? Jesus told Peter, "Lovest thou me?" 3 times. Because Peter denied the Lord 3 times. "Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb." So, dearly beloved, if we truly love the Lord, we must affirm it with our action and with our willingness to serve Him. So perhaps in our midst, there are some who are considering whether you should serve the Lord. I pray that today's message will speak to you, that if the Lord is calling you to full-time service, then trust and pray and seek the Lord's mind. And the Lord will guide you, I'm sure. What are the roles of members or followers in the church? Now, leaders and members have different roles and functions, obviously. And it is like a sheep and shepherd relationship. One leads, the other follows. I remember before COVID time, we had this shepherd and sheep kind of exercise where we try to reach out to members, all right, the leaders. And we do not have the... This is characterized by Jesus loving His sheep. And He laid down His life for the sheep. He says that, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So as followers, we are to be faithful and submissive. As Paul says, "Be followers of me, even I, as I also am of Christ." And Christ is our captain. Christ's leadership was characterized by humility, compassion, and servant attitude. He came to serve and not to be served. He came to minister and not to be ministered. And we do not have the right to lead if we ourselves cannot follow others. Following others is every leader's training ground. Emulate Christ, our supreme examples of leader and follower. So remember that great leaders start off as great followers. What are the duties of church members? Well, in Hebrews 13, they listed four for us. Number one, remember. Remembrance is the hallmark of gratitude. Remember your leaders. Remember to know and to acknowledge them. To honor them and to respect their leadership. And we are to obey. We are to treasure the doctrines and exhortations from God's word by them and to imitate their faithfulness and perseverance to the end in order to finish well. We are to submit. We are to accept their corrections and reproof because God has placed them over us for our good, for our own good. Just as a children obey the parents, I'm sure all parents, when you set any boundaries, it's for the good of the children. So likewise, it is for our spiritual good to submit ourselves to church leaders. And we are to pray for them, to be mindful of them at the throne of grace, and to plead with God that they will be effective and faithful in their service to the Lord. Now, leaders are not supermen. They are not superheroes. They are just like you and I, flesh and blood. And we need your prayer. We need your encouragement to continue to serve the Lord. So as members of the body of Christ, we need to bear one another's burden and to help our leaders to enjoy their ministry so that it can profit you, so that they will serve joyfully and we can together grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, for a healthy and God-honoring church, leadership matters. We are to obey them that have rule over us and to submit ourselves to them. Why? Because they watch over our souls. Because they are accountable to God. Pray for leaders that they may have honorable conduct and clear conscience before God and before men. They will have the joy of service so that it will profit and benefit each one of us. And let us trust God that He will perfect every good work to do His will that is well-pleasing in His sight. And whatsoever we do it, let's do it all, not for man's glory, but to the glory of God. How can we apply on what we have learned today? Now this slide shows you the age profiles of our current 30-member session. God willing, there is a need for leadership renewal for those that is shown on my left. You realize that there are seven that is age falling in the age 61 to 70 years old. Although our church elections is next year, it's not this year. We have 1 year to pray and to consider. Will you heed His call? Will you heed His call? We need leaders. We need more leaders who are compassionate, who are committed, and who are caring. Individuals who will fit into this. For what purpose? For our next generation pastors. Our pastors are not getting younger. For the expansions of our session, for deaconesses to ministers, to single women and sisters. I was told and informed that the last deaconess in this church is in the early 80s. That's 40 years ago. And since then, we do not have any deaconess. So sisters, pray and avail yourself. Because there is a need for sisters to come into the session so that you can assist the church leadership to take care of the sisters in the church, those who are in need. And we need individuals to be trained mentors, to counsel, and to mold youths and career seekers. And we definitely need more volunteers in the various ministries, especially to help the aged and the sick. Isaiah says, "Then say I, here am I, send me." Are you willing to forsake your own pursuit and to co-labor with God in His vineyard? The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Will you heed the Master's call to serve Him? Now, Spurgeon exhorted us, taken from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "The Lord bids us to rise up, for we have long enough been lying among the pots of worldliness. Christ is risen. Why then should we cleave unto the dust?" The Lord bids us, come away from the wilderness of vanity and sin. But Lord, how can a stone rise? How can a lump of clay come away from the horrible pit? Oh, raise us, draw us. Thy grace can do it. Send forth thy Holy Spirit to kindle sacred flame of love in our heart, and we will continue to rise until we leave life and time behind us and indeed come away to you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that reminds us that church leadership matters, and that, Lord, it is for the sake of thy people which thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. So, Father, we pray that you will move in the hearts of among us to respond to your call to come forward to serve you. For the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we pray that, Lord, you will move the hearts of thy people to hear your voice and to respond like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.